Hey there, folks. We're kicking off today's episode with a cup of tea from the Nepal Tea Collective. Nepal Tea is a social enterprise based in New York that distributes the freshest organically grown teas to different parts of the world directly from smallholder farmers in the beautiful country of, you guessed it, Nepal. You can join us for a cup of tea and be part of the global impact they're creating by visiting nepalteacollective.com. That's nepalteacollective.com. Yikes, my cup of tea is already getting cold. So, why don't you join me and hop into today's episode?
Armed with a heart for learning and development and an entrepreneurial spirit, Ali Danziger has been shaping the school-to-work transition for thousands of graduates across the United States. In this episode, we unpack how her unique upbringing and early work experience opened her eyes to the challenges and opportunities facing young professionals globally, and the incredible solutions that she birthed as a result. From scaling her skills training startup and getting acquired by the nation's leading student loans and training provider, we explore Ali's inspiring journey to date while unpacking key lessons learned along the way. Join us in the boardroom to explore the skills, exposure, and experiences that could shape you into a successful early professional and entrepreneur, no matter your interests and aspirations.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whoever you are, wherever you are. Welcome to the Boardroom Banter podcast. You're joining myself, Sean Karanja, your host today, alongside none other than the local noisemaker, aka Boniface Almina. Boniface, how are you doing?
Hey, Sean. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the show. My name, as mentioned, local noisemaker, and I'm feeling blessed and highly favored stepping into this space today, sharing a conversation with my co-host, Sean, and another fantastic guest here on the podcast.
Definitely. I mean, it's a Tuesday when you'd be listening to this. And we typically have conversations with doers, thinkers, people who inspire us from all over the world. And our guest today is no exception. In the boardroom today, we're joined by none other than Ali Danziger, who is in a space that you guys all know we are super passionate about. And today we'll be talking about the future of work. And Ali is joining us from Ascent Funding, where she's currently the Senior Vice President and General Manager. Before that, she was the co-founder and CEO of Ampersand Professionals, which was acquired by Ascent. And what she was doing there and still doing at Ascent right now is helping early career professionals with their upskilling. This is students as well, and basically eliminating the skills gap from higher education to employment, and basically leveling the playing field there with lots of skills training programs. And also right now she's gotten deep into the field of providing funding for students who are ambitious, talented, and just need a little bit of help getting into universities and funding their journeys there. So Ali, welcome to the Boardroom Banter podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you both so much for having me. I'm really excited for this conversation.
Definitely, Ali. We might be biased, but we are looking forward to this conversation. Each of us have a current and past history in the skills training industry, both in Kenya, but also out in Mauritius, where we all studied at the African Leadership University there. And it's a topic that's close to our hearts. But, you know, before we even get into what you're doing today, et cetera, we just want to give you the stage and just let us know. You know, we could stalk your LinkedIn all day and throw titles and past experiences here and there, but we want to hear it from you, Ali. So who are you today, and how would you describe your life's work?
Wow, that's a very loaded question. Today, I pride myself on being a entrepreneur, a mom, a wife, a friend, and someone who also is very committed to my own self wellness. And so, there's a lot that goes into that, and a lot of hard work over the years throughout my professional and personal life to make sure that I'm super clear on that, like where the importances are and where I'm spending my time super diligently. Do you want me to like start at the beginning of my career to tell the story of kind of how I got there? Is that
Definitely.
where we're gonna go here? Okay, sounds good.
Definitely.
So I'm from Houston, Texas. I went to the University of Texas in Austin for college. And throughout my college, I needed to work, like just to help, pay for the beer money. And instead of just like working at Smoothie King or what coffee shop or whatever, I decided my freshman year of college to get an internship, which is pretty rare at that early part of higher education. But I just knew what I wanted to be. I was very, very focused on where I wanted my career to go. And in order to do that, I felt like using it both for an education opportunity to like learn the field as much as possible and learn and educate myself also on like all the different pathways within that field felt like starting off strong with an internship in the industry, paid internship was the path to go. And so throughout college, I interned in a lot of different places in public relations. That was what I studied and like again what I was super passionate and driven towards doing post-graduation. And every semester I was able and fortunate to find different internships in different parts of the PR world. Post-graduation, I was super fortunate again to get a job offer in the field that I wanted to go into in public relations in New York. So that was like eye on the prize. I was like 14 years old, but I always wanted to live in New York and work in public relations. When I started college, actually, I didn't know what public relations was. I thought I wanted to go to school for broadcast journalism. And then once I learned that PR was this interesting blend of communications and business savvy, I just fell in love with the industry. So, ended up working for a real estate focused PR agency in New York. I didn't know anything about real estate, but I really thought it was a very interesting company, and they hired a lot of entry level employees. Well, 6 months into starting that job, the real estate market in the United States crashed, and it was a crazy time to have chosen a job in real estate. But the company went from 40 people to 20 people overnight with a very big round of layoffs. Lucky for me, I did not get laid off and instead got a promotion without any salary increase and a lot more responsibility to take on. But really what happened, and I joke, what happened is I raised my hand and said, the social media side of things, this is 2008, the social media side of things looked really interesting. And that's the field that I want to go into. And my boss gave me the opportunity to start and run and lead the social media department at this company. I was 23 years old, had no idea what I was doing whatsoever. She didn't have anything to lose, frankly. And it was just this amazing opportunity that I didn't get paid anymore to do, but I just jumped into with both feet and jumped right in. Learned a lot on the job, but overnight, I was running the P&L, running new business meetings, hiring a team and learning all of that on the fly. It was just an amazing opportunity. In doing that, I was traveling the country, speaking on panels and such about real estate, social media. And in doing that, kind of got some freelance opportunities to start doing social media on the side and public relations on the side for some of these smaller companies. It didn't take long for me to realize my entrepreneurial passion and journey and decide to go that direction. So do the math that I think many entrepreneurs often do, that if I quit my day job and did my side hustle full time, that I could make just as much money, if not more. And so in 2009, decided to do that, quit my job to see what kind of person I am, will I wake up and hustle if I don't have a boss telling me what to do? And it turns out that I would. So, in 2009, quit, gave myself a month to figure that out about myself, and quickly started my first company, which was a PR agency in 2009. It's called Integrate. I'll speed up the story now a little bit, but over the next 13 years, ended up growing that company. We worked with 600 clients. I hired over 250 entry-level employees and interns to work within that company. And we ended up, or I think we worked on like about $18 million worth of business over that time frame. And then in 2018, I sold that company to a digital marketing agency based out of Austin. So I know like the first part of the story I told really long, that part, it grew, learned a million lessons along the way. And it was really my, it was my business school, frankly, of how to run a business. And also I learned so many amazing lessons with the employees that I hired and the things that they struggled with and how we kept them motivated and trained them. In 2020, right at, you know, in the haste of everything COVID related, since I hired throughout my career, really early career professionals, I was spending a lot of time mentoring early career professionals that were just unsure of what to do with their life. Now that, you know, school was being canceled, should I go back to hybrid school? Their internships or job offers were being rescinded because, you know, people weren't hiring that summer of 2020. And so I was just spending a lot of time coaching and mentoring these folks. I felt like a broken record. I was saying the same thing over and over again to these young professionals of like, get off your parents' couch, just go do something interesting with this time. Like, even if you're not getting paid a ton, like just get the experience. And teaching them really like holding their hand and teaching them how to have some of these conversations and how to do networking and just some of the norms that I had been coaching my employees on for the past 15 years. And so, you know, like many ideas do, I over wine every Friday night with my husband would say like, why doesn't anything like this exist? Why are there no resources? Why are there no books or podcasts or anything that I can send these people to so that I'm not having these like back-to-back conversations saying the exact same thing? Thought about starting a book. No, thank you. Thought about a podcast, but you guys are doing really great work. And there are a lot of podcasts out there. Didn't want to go that path. And so instead decided to get on Zoom with 10 young professionals and coach them through internships, coach them through how to get internships. I then connected them with my own network. And then I talked to their managers every single week to get feedback on what do these young professionals not know? What do you wish they knew? And how can we make sure that they're better? And then I would spend 4 hours a week coaching and mentoring these 10 young professionals in group and one-on-one settings to make sure that they thrived in these roles. Seven out of 10 of the young professionals ended up getting a paying job offer, and all 10 of the businesses said, hands down, this is the best interns I've ever had. You need to go do something with this idea. But it, at that point, this was just like a nights and weekends project. You know, I was still running my agency. And three of those original businesses came on to be investors in the company. Again, like, I don't know what this is, but like, this is amazing. Go do something with this. And so we decided in the spring of 2021 to see if this could scale. Went from 10 young professionals to 30. Same thing on Zoom, matching them with basically our network for internships and spending the same amount of time coaching them. In March of 2021, raised our first round of fundraising. And then by May of 2021, we decided, me and my two co-founders quit our day jobs and said like, okay, this is gonna be our full-time gig. Let's see if we can do something with this. By the summer of 2021, we had 150 professionals and we built out a software platform so that this could scale and we could really take this to the next level and test. You know, we're still like in user testing mode and constantly iterating and constantly testing different pricing strategies and whatnot. Now, again, I'll kind of like fast forward the story. Over the next 2.5 years, again, continue to like iterate and change and product market test and all of that. We've now had over 7,000 professionals on the platform. We've worked with about 600 different businesses. And July of this year of 2023, ended up selling the company to Ascent. They're a student lender that provides coaching and training to every single borrower. And so their mission is to help students plan, pay for, and succeed in their careers. And so they've kind of got the like plan and pay for model with their student lending. But since their mission is to ensure that every single borrower succeeds, that was where the Ampersand Platforms comes into play. And so we're now, we have hundreds of thousands of borrowers those individuals will now be getting access to our training platform and our coaching platform. And then we continue to work with businesses around the country to help upskill their entry-level employees, their interns, their analysts, or just individuals who are looking to upskill, maybe transition from like retail to the corporate, or go from a truck driver to the corporate office, or to like customer service. And so a lot of the content within the platform are things that may feel very normal to people who are in office jobs today, but individuals who may be first generation college students or going in a different career path than their parents or families, they don't know these like unwritten rules of the workplace, like how to send a calendar invite, how to talk to your managers, how to request time off in the right, most appropriate way. Like HR has a format of what you're supposed to do when you request time off. But there's a lot of unwritten intricacies to that, like how you tell your boss before you book your plane flight. What's the agenda you use to sit down with your team before you take off for vacation? What do you really say to your boss when they text you while you're out? HR might say you don't have to respond, but like we know that you actually do need to respond and what the implications are if you don't. When you come back, what are some tips to succeed so that it doesn't take weeks to catch up from being out for 2 days and to go through your inbox and your to-do list and all that? How to ask your boss the questions if you are unsure and overcome imposter syndrome. And so there's 50 hours worth of content on our platform that we customized for each of our different partners and have learned a ton of what people need, what students and learners need, what businesses need, what schools need, and how we can bridge those gaps. A long story, but that's kind of like where I started in college to, and then the pathway of what gets us to where we are today.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful story, Ali. And you know, as you were talking, I was picking apart different aspects of a personality that are really standing out in your story, right? With your knack for adaptability, right, in all of these different spaces that you're transitioning in over the course of your, you know, early career into the work you're doing now, your learning agility, right? Your risk appetite, you know, when it comes to not just being an entrepreneur, but, you know, stepping into an internship in your freshman year in college, moving to New York, you know, to begin your work there. And I'd be very curious to understand what aspects of a personality could be tied back to your childhood environment, right? We have this belief on the podcast that, you know, we are who we are because of a certain aspect of conditioning that we got, you know, with the environments that we're in and the people that we're surrounded by. What can you tell us about, you know, some of the people and places that really played a role in, you know, developing these qualities that you have right now within you?
Absolutely. So a couple of things. So one, I often think that, you know, I didn't start doing anything entrepreneurial until I was in that opportunity in New York when the layoffs happened and I like needed to jump in and figure something out. But as I reflect back, there were a ton of things that happened in my childhood where I just jumped in, created a solution even way before like my time. I say that in quotes when I was probably too young to really be doing that, but I've just always been someone who sees a problem and wants to help solve that. My first high school job when I was 16, I worked at a kids bookstore, and I ended up noticing that people were coming in to buy presents at the kids bookstore for like, and going to the same birthday parties over and over again. And so I came up with the idea, and we ended up hosting birthday parties at the bookstore. I would dress up like a character, read three stories, do an arts and crafts project, find them a cake that was like in line with the same character. I was 16 years old, you know, but it was such a great opportunity for the bookstore. And so like finding those kinds of things, I met this artist when I was 17 and ended up creating the boxes for the jewelry boxes that then ended up being sold at Saks and Neiman's. And all that was I just like did a little bit of calligraphy on the boxes. But I remember making my parents drive me to Hobby Lobby to like buy the boxes for 50 cents a piece. And I would sell them to her for $2 a piece and like hand do each thing. And it was a great story for the artist of like, oh, I've got this, I'm helping this high school kid out. So I would often find those types of opportunities. That said, could never have happened without the support and encouragement from my parents. My mom worked full time, so I think that, you know, like shows me today. I've got two young kids that like you do what you got to do and you figure it out and balance those things. And so that was certainly an inspiration for me at a very young age as a woman to see my mom working and providing for our family. And my dad every single day told me that there was nothing that I couldn't do. And so I remember those early days in New York when I was deciding, you know, am I going to raise my hand for this kind of opportunity? I'm not getting paid anymore. Like, is this really something that I want to do? And then like brainstorming with my dad up until, you know, midnight every night, as he would just encourage me that like, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter, you know, where you come from or what you know, if you are passionate about this, and if you can learn the skills yourself, you've got this. And so that type of encouragement from both my parents certainly made a huge, like humongous difference. And that's why I'm so passionate today about upskilling entry-level professionals and teaching them the skills and building the confidence, because so much of it and taking those risks is to have the confidence that you can still land on your feet. You know, yes, I've made a jillion mistakes in both of the companies that I've started, but I always knew that regardless of the mistake, not because anyone else is going to help me, but I know that like I will get out of this mistake. I will come up with the solution, even if that means it's going to take a few months and I'm going to need to like, you know, meditate on it, go to yoga for it, whatever. I know that I will survive through it. So because of that, that gives me the confidence to make those mistakes and take those risks. Otherwise, you're just going to stay stagnant. And we wouldn't have made a lot of the pivots and iterations within the business that needed to happen to get to where we are today if we didn't take a lot of those risks.
That's incredible. You know, when you mentioned that story of how the opportunity came about at your previous workspace and you put your hand up and said, hey, I could do this, right? There's a confidence there that I think, and I do believe with the right ecosystems and like environments, it can be taught, right? When you put young professionals or students in spaces where they can take up initiative or they can try out their ideas, you know, that's just it's a breeding ground for innovation and confidence building and, you know, someone just figuring out, what do I want to do? And can I actually put myself out there for that? When I think back to, you know, some of the work that I've done in this space, so similarly, I'd been running a skills training platform for about 4 or so years. And, you know, even with this podcast, we're trying to find a way to like move into that space because, you know, people can listen to these podcasts, but, you know, they need content. They need, you know, contextualized training in order to actually apply some of the things that they're learning from other people. I'm curious to hear from you about ways that you'd encourage young professionals right now, especially given like the current global context. Right now, we've got ChatGPT in everyone's pockets. We've got tech being embedded left, right, center. So what that's doing is, yes, democratizing access to information and, you know, people can build stuff. But, you know, fundamentally, if someone doesn't have a problem-solving attitude or, you know, some level of confidence around, hey, someone is facing a problem, let me solve it. There's only so much they can do with all these tools around them. So do you have any advice for, you know, young professionals or students right now who they're being bombarded by all these tools and information in the 21st century, but, you know, they just need a bit of guidance as to what do I do with all of this? And how do I use these things around me to make a career or a life that I can be proud of?
Yeah. So the tools and all of the resources are amazing, but if you don't know how to use them to your advantage and you don't have this constant like growth mentality and constant learning velocity, and it doesn't even matter that you have access to the tools, in my opinion. And so my advice is to keep on learning, to keep exploring all these tools. Young professionals today have an advantage because they come a lot easier to the younger generation because they're not scared to try all these different tools. So my recommendation is yes, to use them, yes, to keep learning, And to understand that you have to know, for ChatGPT as an example, like you have to know what to plug in. You still have to know when to reply back to your manager and what those workforce norms are and how to be professional. And ChatGPT is not going to be the end all be all. When my employees give me content from ChatGPT, I know in an instant, right? So like use it absolutely as the baseline, edit off of it and know when, like you still have to use your brain to apply it to whatever work you're doing. Because otherwise you will like be this robot basically. And I'm not looking to hire a robot. Nobody's looking to hire a robot. We're looking to hire human beings who can take the tools in a really efficient way or in a really meaningful way to be more efficient with their time. But I would just use the tool myself if that's all I was looking for. Right. And so we need professionals who, again, like have this constant growth mindset of, how do I keep learning, keep growing? Today it's ChatGPT is going to be out of business or something totally different in a couple of years, right? So like what's next and how can I keep growing my own professional skills and my own brain so that I can, you can thrive in this ever evolving space. Like we've been having the same conversation for 20 years, right? Like it was text. Actually, it was email. It was Slack. There's always new tools coming about. And we just need great people who want to keep trying them and testing them and building off of them. Does that answer
That's
the question?
Spot on. Yeah, spot on, okay. Spot on, Ali. And as a young professional and a student, you know, just about to graduate in a couple of months, that there's definitely value I'm seeing there in the ChatGPT that I'm using to, you know, draft some of my schoolwork, you know, be able to, you know, put together my content as a creator that needs to translate, rather be directed towards a certain place that's creating value. You know, understand where the tools and technology, where they're situated in the job market. That's definitely something that is very relevant at this point in time. And I'm curious to hear from you. You know, you mentioned ChatGPT, right? I'd be curious to hear what other trends or solutions within the skills training space you're currently excited about or leveraging right now in this season of your life that you're in as Ali in stepping into your role right now with Ascent Funding.
So the question is, what kind of upskilling am I seeing that for my employees?
What kind of trends in the industry with regards to the technology and tools are you actively interested in or sparking your interest that it is translating into the work that you're doing with your people at the moment?
I think it's probably just the overall trends in workforce development away from traditional education and seeing that like credentials and traditional credit-based schooling is just changing. The way that employers are thinking about that in general is really shifting. And it's fascinating to be at the precipice of all of this change. And I feel honored to be included in a lot of the conversations. And what I mean by that is in the US, there used to be just this mindset of you must go to a traditional four-year institution if you want to get a job. And I've never believed in that. So at my PR agency, I was hiring tons of young professionals and I never knew where they went to school. I never looked at like graduation date or their education background. All I cared about was, are they passionate? Do they have that learning velocity? Are they interested in learning and growing and being a part of this team? And if so, I'll teach them the skills they need to know in order to succeed. But that was very unique. And I think, you know, as part of why I created this company, because I don't care where they went to school, and I don't think that school is necessarily properly preparing students for the workforce. There's so much more and different education that needs to go into that preparation. And so I just feel like there's been this shift where I am seeing other large institutions, large companies, excuse me, taking that same mindset and hiring from coding boot camps or from career training education institutions. And the government, like everything, lobbyists, like there's so much attention going into this trend to make it more accessible for lower income individuals or people who don't have the means or interest in going to a traditional four-year institution. So I don't know if that fully answers your question, but that's just a trend that I really am seeing and a part of because I believe in it so strongly. So that goes into both our hiring practices as well as the types of students that we're supporting and the types of corporations that we're helping to upskill their new employees.
You know, that sounds a lot like one of the experiences that I had recently, actually last year. So when I'd gotten done with university and, you know, I came back home, I did have a job. So I was, at that time I was working in consulting, you know, the social impact space, but I wanted to make more money. So I started doing tech sales. So like working totally remotely in B2B tech sales. And despite the fact that I had like zero experience in it, I noticed that when I was going through that recruitment process and when I started out, I mean, the guys I was working for at the time, they did not care. They didn't care what you had studied, etc. But, you know, there were certain elements of your personality they were looking for, or, you know, your ability to reason, etc. And then there was really comprehensive on-the-job training, which just like takes everyone to the next level. And I was just like, wow, some of the people I was working with, you know, no uni degrees, no nothing, but they were like absolute killers, sales machines. And, you know, it was all about their attitude, etc. So I definitely hear you on that. And, you know, we're really excited to see, you know, your solutions taking shape and scaling across not just North America, but yeah, hopefully you could expand out into here. You know, there's a bunch of us here who could help you scale a similar thing out here in Africa. But I'm curious to know, you know, when we look at Ali in the next 5 to 10 years, both as an individual and as an entrepreneur, what's exciting for you? What are you looking out to and saying, hey, 5 to 10 years, this could be really cool for me personally and professionally? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, it's a tough question because I'm in the process of a transition right now. So I'm one who just like super passionate. And when I'm into something, I just like jump in with 2 feet. And my life motto is experience the experience. So I try to just like be present, experience it, and like do it 130%. So I've only been part of Ascent Funding now for like 3 months, and I'm loving my new role. I'm loving this whole new experience. As someone who's been an entrepreneur since I was 24 years old, I'm learning so much of what it's like to be an employee and to work for a larger company, and I'm learning so much from the CEO. It's just been so far like an just incredible experience and opportunity that I'm so grateful for. It's the right home for me, my employees, my company, my investors. Like everything just really worked out in this experience. So I am really excited to like keep doing this for a little bit. I have no like other big ideas right now that I'm like plotting in the back of my mind. My kids are young. And I'm really excited to like not have a startup right now and have, you know, like, yes, I work really hard. I still wake up at 4:45 every day. And, you know, I do love working and love the mission of what we're working towards. And I also like to make sure that right now I'm home to study for math tests with my kiddos and, you know, help them with their homework and be able to read to them. And some of that stuff that as an entrepreneur, I've made the choice in my, you know, in my life over the last however many years, and especially throughout my kids' entire life, that you know, I'm grinding and I'm working 100-hour weeks sometimes, and I'm on the road raising money, and I love it, and I wouldn't change that experience for the world. And I'm super excited right now to just kind of like take a seat, work through this current vision with a larger company. So it's maybe not like the greatest answer for a group of entrepreneurs, but I think sometimes you need to like take that. I was just telling someone yesterday, I think I'm just kind of like taking this time, and it might be a decade, right? To just recharge my battery, learn as much as I can, thinking about this as like business school 3.0. What can I learn from this company? What can I learn from this group of amazing leaders, from this group of advisors and investors and board members and customers, and this whole next challenge and road? I'm going to learn a ton. And I'm sure from this, it's going to like spark 9,000 ideas of next ventures. And I'm trying, honestly, to be really diligent about like not starting another business for a little bit so that I can recharge that battery for a while, and just use the knowledge that I learn through this experience to better myself for next time. You know, again, I started my entrepreneurial journey when I was 24, which was amazing. And I learned so much from trial by fire and by making mistakes and grinding it out. And I don't know that I would have done it any other way. I don't think that the lessons I learned, you can learn in business school or by working for an employer. So I love the experience that I've had. And I think there's a lot that I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's like to work for a big company. I don't know what it's like, you know, to build out departments and work collaboratively to build P&Ls. Like, I've been the only person doing that for my entire career. So there is a lot that I don't know. And I'm excited to, that's kind of the next thing for me right now.
We wish you all the best. As fellow serial entrepreneurs, I can imagine how tough that might be. You know, sometimes ideas just pop out and it's like, wow, like that would be really cool to do. Who's doing that? How about we do that? It sounds like you're really grounded in the stage and the season that you're in. And
exactly.
Really,
and mentoring others where I can, you know, through their journey.
Yeah, we'll take you up on that mentorship thing. We definitely.
You got it. Yeah. I'd love that.
So we're coming to the end of our conversation here, and we've got one last quick segment for you. So we call this the elevator segment. So similar to what you think of in like an elevator pitch, picture yourself, you know, you've just left the boardroom, a conversation with us, and you hop into the elevator and one of our interns has like a couple of quick fire questions to you. They recently went through your upskilling course, so they're proactive and have lots of insights. So,
great.
Ali, you've got the opportunity to write a message, any message that you want, short and sweet, on a billboard. And this billboard can be placed in the busiest street anywhere in the world, place of your choosing. What message would you have written on there? People would walk by, drive by, and they'd see this every day.
So my life motto, as I mentioned a minute ago, is experience the experience. And I think if I had that opportunity, that'd be the message that I would want to share. And that to me means being present in the moment and taking every experience that comes your way for what it is, not having higher expectations or lower expectations, and just being present for the experience itself.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that's definitely, I'm taking that with me over the next couple of weeks. I think this semester has been a lot of, you know, being in that limbo of transitioning out of uni. You're back in university, but you're thinking about home. You think about the people that you left behind. But, you know, that motto of experiencing the experience is very grounding. And that's one of the most consistent themes I've seen in this conversation right now. So thank you so much, Ali, for grounding us in this conversation and reminding us that it's okay to be where we are right now in the season of our lives, and, you know, take it a day at a time. To our listeners, thank you. If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Hope you can find ways to personalize Ali's story for yourself. Pick the learnings, check out the work that she's doing, and hope you will also take it upon yourself to upskill and be able to not just inspire the world around you, but, you know, pass the baton and be able to take up the baton from other people as you move on forward. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next one. My name is Boniface Omina. I was joined by Sean Karanja and our lovely guest, Ali Danziger. Ali, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was so great chatting with you guys today.